Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in. Then I watch them roll away again.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with us. Let me remind you, just a little bit of a housekeeping note. I'll remind you that I'm on the road today, traveling, and I was yesterday. I am today, and I will be tomorrow. But in my interest in being true to you and dedicated to what you and I do together, on the show, I do my show even when I'm on the road. And occasionally, you wind up with a connection that's not as good as you'd like. And so that means that every once in a while, we drop out just for a few seconds. But just bear with me. Hang on. We'll be right back if we have a little bit of a technical problem. It's just usually the connectivity situation that we have when you're doing a remote. So as I said before, this is live radio. You get what I get, and I always like to be honest with you about what's going on. But for the most part, it works perfectly, and I'm glad it does, because I want you to hear some of the great things that Ken Dalecki has to say. Ken is Deputy Managing Editor with the Kiplinger Editors. He's our good friend sitting in for Joan Pryde on this Thanksgiving Day, and I really appreciate you for that, Ken. Welcome to the show, and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Jim. Same to you.
Well, I appreciate you being here. It means a lot to me for you to set aside. And folks, you know, you've heard me talk before about how dedicated and what great folks we've got here and who are the members of our Brain Trust. And the fact that Ken Dalecki is here with us on Thanksgiving morning is spending some time with us. That, you know, I don't think I have to say anything else to prove that point, Ken, and we appreciate your dedication. The letter starts out, the Kiplinger letter starts out this week saying that we haven't seen the last of tax cuts. Boy, that's music to my ears, Ken.
Yeah, there are a number of things percolating. One already happened since we came out with our letter, and that is the passage of the Medicare bill, which has some tax provisions in it. And the other big piece of legislation moving, which didn't quite make it to the finish line this year, but will be taken up early next year, that has a lot of tax provisions, is the energy bill.
Mm-hmm.
Those two, and then there's some other sort of cat and dog tax relief measures that will get attention early next year.
Well,
too.
You know what Bob Novak, the columnist and CNN talking head Bob Novak said, Republicans were put on this earth to cut taxes.
And what would Democrats put on the earth for?
Well, I don't know. He doesn't address that. I'm only quoting him on that. But the thing is, he said he didn't say Democrats weren't put on Earth, but he just singled them out, the Republicans, and said they were put on Earth to their sole reason for being is to cut taxes. And of course, you've got a Republican in the White House, and Republicans control both houses of Congress to the degree that they do. They don't have a kind of majority that they can run roughshod. They still have to work bipartisan. But the bottom line is that we have had quite a few tax cuts, and you know,
yep. The flip side of that, of course, is the deficits, and that's something to worry about. Right now, Congress seems to be in a tax cut mood.
Well, you're right about that, and I know the deficit is serious, and there's no question about that. I'm enough of a supply sider to believe that that if you give this incredible marketplace that we have an opportunity, that it will generate a lot of income for the government, and so I like the track we're going on. We had the risk of becoming like Europe, Ken. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, I mean, you know, Europe's got some major structural problems in the way they do business over there that they're actually having to change and to become, God help them, a little bit more like us.
Yeah, Germany and France and
yep.
Actually, Spain, believe it or not, has probably taken some of the biggest steps towards liberalizing their economy, and have done quite well.
Right. No question about it. And do you know what? Go ahead, Ken.
Well, I'm going to say that some of the latest news about the economy shows and seems to indicate certainly that the president's gamble on the general tax cuts is beginning to pay off.
Right. Well, yeah, we found out that the tax cuts that we got back in the summer is one of the reasons why the economy's, you know, purring along right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what we need is we need more people at work. And one of the ways to hire more people is to let businesses keep more of what they earn so they can make payroll. You know, Ken, I've interviewed, lots and lots of small business owners, not only in this country but around the world, and I asked them this question. If you had lower taxes, if you got to keep more of what you make, what would you do with that money? And you know what, Ken? Without exception, they all said, I'd put it back into my business. Not one of them said, I'd give myself a raise. Not one of them said, I'd take a trip around the world or you know, buy a new car. Every single one of them immediately has said that they would put that money back into their business. That's what you got to do is you got to grow this economy through jobs, not grow the coffers of the government through taxes. That's my opinion anyway.
Well, the Medicare bill has about $18 billion worth of tax incentives for companies to keep drug coverage for their retired employees. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a major concern for older workers, like myself, for example. That's something that probably gets overlooked in a lot of the coverage of this Medicare bill.
Another thing that gets overlooked, Ken, that I have seen written up in some of the reports, but it's not always given the import that I think it should be given, and that is what they now call the health savings accounts. They used to call them medical savings accounts. Used to be MSAs. Now they're HSAs, and that's important for a lot of small business owners who would like to be able to fund their health care insurance with after-tax dollars the way with before tax dollars, the way that the corporations do.
Yeah, these new accounts will be open to anyone who agrees to take a high deductible medical plan.
Right. Exactly. If you can fund a certain amount of your own, you know, early coverage, the high deductible, as you say, you know, $5,000 or so, they're right for you. We're actually looking into them ourselves, and that's part of this Medicare bill, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break, 20 after. We'll be right back with Ken Dalecki. He's with the Kiplinger Editors. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. Thank you very much for hanging around with us on this Thanksgiving Day, and whoever you are, wherever you are, however you're listening, whenever you're listening, happy Thanksgiving. Even if you're not celebrating Thanksgiving the way we do in America, I'm sure you can think about some things to be thankful for, and I hope you will. Hope you'll do that, and we wish you the best today. Ken Dalecki is our guest. He's Deputy Managing Editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and we're talking about the most recent Kiplinger letter, which comes out every week by email and by print, which I've been a subscriber, as you know, for many years, and a lot longer than I've even been on the air. It's an outstanding publication. And they've also got three biweekly letters in addition to the Kiplinger letter. Now in its 81st year, they've got three biweekly letters, the Kiplinger Agriculture letter, the California letter, and the tax letter. And those are all available from their website, Kiplinger.com. And also, by the way, folks, that website is a good site to go to regardless of whether you're subscribing or not. It's got good information on it. And then they've got a magazine that I want Ken to tell you about. Ken, tell us about that.
Oh, that's our Kiplinger Personal Finance Magazine.
Yeah.
Which does what the title says. It's major publication that gives you hopefully good advice about what to do with your investments.
It's a monthly, too, by the way, folks, and it's available on newsstands and bookstores, so check that out, and that's at Kiplinger.com. Ken, do you have that 800 number handy?
I do have an 800 number here, 800-544-0155.
Yeah, that's the number you can call. And don't forget, they got a 30-day free trial. You can use that and just to test out their publications, which I think you'll like. Ken, let's get back into some of the tax cuts that are out there. Some of the other tax cuts that are available are so there are going to be some tax relief for manufacturers, which is good news. Maybe that'll help get some jobs going. What do you think?
Yeah, that's in relation to some changes that Congress is going to have to make in the tax law because of a trade dispute that we've had with the European Union. Corporations that trade, do a lot of trade, can set up overseas operations and avoid taxes, which under the World Trade Organization they've declared that's an illegal subsidy. So so Congress is going to have to work out some substitute for that, and that's probably going to involve a reduction in manufacturers' tax rate from the current 35% to 32%, and there'll be some other tax relief provisions as well, which will be used hopefully to find a legal way to help our manufacturers stay competitive in the international market.
Right.
So that's something that virtually has to be done to avoid sanctions that the European mm-hmm. Union would be able to put on our products if.
Well, and it's the opposite of the free trade that we're trying to get established right now. And I have to admit, the Bush administration has been sending some mixed messages about free trade. You know, on the one hand, they're focusing hard on free trade and trying to develop trade agreements with countries around the world. And yet we're doing some things here at home that are not conducive to that. And one of them is the steel tariffs. And so they're going to have to get their songs. They need to be singing off the same song every time that they deal with people around the world, and I know it's a challenging issue, but they need to try to be a little more consistent in the messages that they're sending out there. Another one, Ken, that you don't hear much about this is the push for pro savings, where the president is talking about allowing people to invest money and to save money without having to. More money, I should say, without having to pay taxes. That's something that you don't hear a lot about either.
Yeah, and he'd like to beef up the savings, the IRA type and 401k type savings accounts.
Right, right.
Because we do face a huge problem down the road when the baby boomers start retiring in huge numbers. The other big tax bill or tax bill that has a lot of tax relief in it is this energy bill, which, as you know, didn't make it in the 11th hour in Congress, but it will be back early next year, and that has a lot of incentives for energy producers, for even for homeowners to beef up their insulation and energy efficient equipment and appliances and hybrid cars, and so there's a lot of money in that which involves tax incentives.
One of the things that's bringing the politics into all these tax cuts back to the health care, the Medicare bill that was recently passed, Ken, that's an interesting political dynamic there, because this is typically reforming passing Medicare bills is typically, and especially with the prescription drug element that's in that program, that's typically seen as Democrat territory, and the Republicans have co-opted that a little bit, and that made the Democrats unhappy, didn't it?
Well, it certainly did. It's hard to say, Jim, how this is going to work out in the long run. I think a big new government program always engenders a certain amount of opposition down the road when things don't always work out the way people hope they do. But, right now it's a big feather in Bush's cap to have gotten that done.
We skip the line.
to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with me on this Thanksgiving Day, and happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. We're visiting with our good friend Ken Dalecki. He's one of the guys that I'm thankful for on this Thanksgiving Day, and Ken's deputy managing editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And Ken, over on page two of this week's Kiplinger letter, there's what I think is some good news, and you talk about certain industries are starting to see a resurgence in pricing power, and we're seeing that, Ken, in some of the profit numbers in some of the major corporations. Their profits are up. I think I saw recently the corporate profits are up like somewhere around 11%. So that's good news, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is for them and for investors. As you know, the companies just haven't been able to raise prices. There's just too much competition, and they've been really squeezed in their profits. But we finally do see some improvement for agriculture and transportation equipment, and even the discounts on personal computer components has begun to shrink. Price
right.
Of steel and building material that are up, and they're sticking for a change. There's been some price testing in the past, but they've had to cut back because just wouldn't stick. So,
well, pricing power is an interesting concept that we've all learned more and more about in the last 3 years. It was something that that many of us had never experienced before, and you know, having grown up in a world of inflation. We hadn't experienced so much where prices actually were dropping, and we've had that
right.
In the last 3 years or so. And even though we call it pricing power, that is not to say necessarily pricing increases. In other words, if what's happened, I think, Ken, is that because of the way the economy's been over the last few years, many companies have had to cut their prices. And therefore, they had to cut their operating expenses, and that's the reason we got a lot of layoffs, that we had so many people unemployed. And so to say that we have pricing power, that people are able to raise prices, all that means for many of us is that we can just take our prices back closer to where they were somewhere in the last 3 years, not even an increase in terms of historical increase, but in terms of what we used to charge. And so, you know, the pricing power just means that we're going to be getting back some of those discounts that we've been giving away.
And companies have had raw material cost increases that they haven't been able to pass along.
Increases like health care insurance and things like that that's been eating our lunch.
Well, that too, yeah.
Yeah.
But the raw material costs for such things as metal, timber, oil, crushed stone have gone up nearly 25% in the last year. And a lot of that hasn't been companies haven't been able to pass that through, so they've had
nope.
to eat it, or hopefully, fortunately, productivity has continued to gain at a pretty good pace, and that's been able to make up for some of it, but certainly not all of it.
Let me throw out a bright spot in all this, and you know, we'd always like to try to find a silver lining in every cloud, and Ken, one of the things that's happened is In the 3 years that we've just gone through, more and more companies have had to find ways to work more efficiently, and unfortunately that meant there were some cutbacks, and unfortunately there were some people who were laid off because of that, and that is unfortunate. But what I think we've got right now, Ken, is a marketplace full of companies that have really truly learned how to seek efficiencies and to operate leaner and cleaner. And so that's the reason why I'm actually more positive, more heartened by the expansion that's ahead of us than I was in what we had, you know, a few years ago, because I think we've become a lot smarter about the way we run our businesses because of the last 3 years. And I think that means for me, in my dangerous amateur economist way, I believe that's going to give us a much stronger recovery than we had, you know, in the last expansion, I should say.
Mm-hmm. You know, Jim, we make a lot of business calls at Kiplinger. We sometimes just call our subscribers, grab a bunch of letters that that they've written in and call them up and talk to them about what's on their mind what they're up to, what their major concerns are, which these days is healthcare.
Right.
But one of the things that always amazes me when we do that is the innovation and the new ideas that business people have to save a dollar and to become more efficient and to
it's
provide.
It's called survival. It's called survival, Ken. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
And, but we have to
do it. Hold on to that talk, Ken. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with our good friend, Ken Dalecki. Ken Dalecki, he's deputy managing editor with the Kiplinger Editor. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 17 till. Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, thank you very much for hanging around with us today. Let me remind you, coming up in the show, straight ahead, we got Lynn Morella, who's going to talk to us about ethics, business ethics. Andrea Nuremberg is going to talk to us about business development. Anita Rosen is going to talk to us about technology. And Skip Miller is one of our salesmanship experts. And that's coming up in the show straight ahead. I'll be right here live and in person, as I have been now for into our seventh year. One of the people who's been steadfast supporter of all the things that we do here, a good friend of ours, and always there when we need him, is our guest this hour, Ken Dalecki, deputy managing editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And, you know, Ken, I probably have told you before, but I'm thankful for your friendship and for your steadfast and abiding support of all the things that we do.
Well, thank you, Jim. The feeling's mutual.
Yeah. Ken, let's talk.
I think you do a great job.
Well, thank you for that, Ken. Let's move over to page three and talk about politics. Now, we're entering the silly season, aren't we? I guess you could say the silly season has already started. Let me tell you something I thought was pretty
silly. I don't know that it ever ends anymore.
it seems like it's constant campaigning. But, Ken, here's something that happened over sometime earlier this week. I guess it was Monday. The Democrat candidates were on MSNBC at 4 o'clock Eastern in the afternoon doing a debate. Now, why in the world would they have a debate among all the candidates? Joe Lieberman apparently wasn't invited. I don't know what the controversy was there. But there they were at 4 o'clock in the afternoon when most people are watching Oprah, and these guys are on MSNBC at a debate. I've never seen that before. Have you?
No. I guess it's desperation. get any kind of exposure that you possibly can.
It was very strange. Let's talk about the Senate, though. I've never seen anybody make this point before. I'm just going to read what Kiplinger said this week, folks, about the Senate. They asked this question: is the Senate losing its luster, no longer luring politicians? Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, I've been in Washington for 35 years and started here covering Congress. Actually, I worked briefly for a senator, but most of my time here has involved Congress, either covering it or watching it. And you always hear that things are terribly partisan, but it's always, you know, it's more partisan now than it's ever been. And I actually think that's true. I really do. I think that's a product of the Congress being so evenly divided, and the public seems to like that. But it means that one side's always trying desperately to get one up on the other, and it is it's become a terribly partisan place, and that's been discouraging to a lot of up and coming politicians to want to come here and serve in the Congress, and particularly in the Senate.
I think it's also caused a number of people to leave, number of good leaders on both sides of the aisle to leave prematurely.
Yeah, that too, and it's made it difficult to recruit good candidates, and that's what we talk about a little bit here in this item in our letter.
Especially single out that the GOP has got problems in fielding good candidates for the Senate.
Yeah, we've got some examples of that in Nevada. it was thought that Congressman Jim Gibbons, a Republican, would take on the incumbent Senator Harry Reid, who thought to be possibly vulnerable, but he's decided not to do that, and that probably means Reid's got a pretty safe shot. Similar things happening in Arkansas and the state of Washington, and Democrats have got some of that too. In Missouri, the lieutenant governor, Democrat Joe Maxwell, who was thought to be a potentially strong candidate against Senator Kit Bond, the Republican, has decided not to run. So there are ample examples around of members who just want to take a pass, you know. And of course, a lot of action today is at the state and the state level. And so,
well, you know, Bob Graham out of Florida, who's a good Democrat down there, chose not to run for re-election. He dropped out of the presidential race, apparently becoming so soured on the whole process that he also dropped out of the Senate. He's going to drop out of the Senate with his next. With the next cycle, and you know he's a good Democrat, he's a good American.
Well, that really does open up that that race too, as you know, because Graham would be pretty much of a shoe-in in Florida. He's been a former governor and senator, very popular politician, and without him in the race, that does give the Republicans a shot at that seat. And you're right, that's another example. Normally, you know, in the old days, particularly Southern politicians would just stay in forever. That's not the case anymore.
Let's move on. Before we go to a break, I want to move on down and talk about small business a little bit. And because you mentioned that now that we can go keep our phone numbers, when we go from landline to a cell line, you guys point out that businesses need to be really careful about this. And I agree with you because when you go to a cell phone, as your main number, you might not have. It probably won't get listed in the phone book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to be sure that that you can keep that number in the phone book. Right. And of course, you have to be concerned too about less reliable service and in cases of power failures, as we've certainly experienced here in the
Absolutely.
Midwest.
Ken, hold that thought, folks. When we come back, we're going to talk about talking computers. Couple of more things for small business, then we're going to get into some trade and world economic issues as we wrap up the hour on this Thanksgiving Day. Tintail, stay with us.
Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Ken Dalecki, Deputy Managing Editor with the Kiplinger Editors. I encourage you again, folks, to check out their website, kiplinger.com, KIPLINGER.com. It's a good site. Even if you're not subscribing to their letters or their magazine, I encourage you to at least go to the website, noodle around on it. I think you'll like what you find there. Ken, a couple of quick things on small business that you guys pointed out. Talking computers can raise warehouse and factory productivity. This is very interesting, and this is some technology that's emerging that's helping people to use their voice rather than having to input things into computers, isn't it?
Well, our tech editor came across this, Jim, and that the system called Vocollect is the company that makes it. It's called TalkMan, and it translates orders on computers into instructions that can be sent directly to workers on the floor who have headset connections, and this can avoid all kinds of errors that can creep into a system and help with assembly line and inventory tasks. So it's something
also,
to check out if you're in that kind of business, and it only costs a few thousand dollars, so it's not a huge.
And it's also more real time too, and that's very critical. And according to what your report is this week, it actually can have a payback within 1 year. So that's pretty good. That's pretty good return on investment. So check that out, folks. It's called Vocollect, and the system is called TalkMan, but the company's called Vocollect. And just get started looking at that. That might be something you might want to check into. And I'm sure if one company is doing it, there's another competitor out there. You can compare prices and compare features, but I would suspect maybe that's vocollect.com. I don't know, but
probably we'll find on the web.
Maybe you could Google them. It's VOCOLLECT. Ken, let's move over and talk about trade. Top of page four, there's a lot of noise about imports from China hurting the U.S., but not just from China, but not just hurting U.S. firms, but countries, really firms all over the world. So what's up with that now?
Well, as you know, that's heating up as a political issue. Certainly the Democratic candidates are talking more and more about trade and pointing out the loss in the number of manufacturing jobs we have in this country. And a lot of that is being blamed on foreign competition, and certainly that's an understandable argument. And China is sort of the big new boy on the block, and as you know, just from looking at the tags on stuff we buy everywhere,
right.
There's very often a Made in China label on it. So it's very obvious, and it's something that that the administration is becoming very sensitive to. But on the flip side of that, of course, is that China's just becoming a huge, huge market for everyone and for the United States as well.
And, China is going to become what Mexico never has become. And that's
a 100 times over.
Yeah.
You know, there are 1.3 million Chinese, and they're really coming into the 21st century.
You mean 1.3 billion. You said million, but I know you meant billion.
Yes, billion, yes. Absolutely.
Well, you know, I call what's happening in China the fourth NAFTA. The first NAFTA was when the jobs came from England to New England. The second NAFTA was when it went from New England to the South, the textile jobs. The third what we call NAFTA, which was actually the third NAFTA, was when the jobs went from the Southeast primarily to Mexico. And then the fourth NAFTA is in less than 10 years, those jobs have not gone to China. But the difference is the argument for NAFTA was that Mexico would actually become a great importer of our other goods. That's not happened, but that is happening in China. China is going to be a very exciting and also could be a very troublesome economy that the global economy is going to have to deal with. It's going to be exciting, whether it's good for you or not. It's going to be exciting over the next few years dealing with China, isn't it?
I think so. I think it's a very hopeful sign. Frankly, I think the more China interacts with the nations around the world, the more stable it becomes as a partner. Both politically and economically,
you know what,
and you look at their energy demands that they're going
Ken,
to have.
I got to stop you, Ken. But I want to leave you with a Bastiat, Frederick Bastiat quote. He said, "When goods cross borders, armies don't." And I think that's to the point of what you were just saying. Ken, thank you for spending time with us on Thanksgiving. It really means a lot to us, and we appreciate
you. Thank you, Jim. Thank you very much.
See you later. Have a good holiday. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.